It is down here at Moonalinks today, 24 past 7, thanks to AFL Sports Ready looking after us, the AFLPA involved in, also in the inaugural AFL Outduction Program, a two-day affair for 38, I think it is, players that have exited the game in the last 12 months. One of those is Anthony Morabito, who was picked four in the 2009 National Draft, and in his 7 years in AFL footy, played just 26 games because of three horrific knee reconstructions, but he's been good enough to join us this morning on The Breakfast Club. Morning, Anthony.
Thanks for having us.
No worries, buddy. You've flown across from Perth for this, so you're pretty serious about this post-football situation.
Yeah, and it's in the middle of exams, so...
Oh, really?
Tried to sneak some study in last night, but a couple of beers last night didn't really get that, done.
That was never going to happen, no. But I appreciate the effort you made to try. What are you studying, just by the way, while we're there?
I'm finishing off a commerce degree at the Curtin University back in Western Australia. I'm looking at the management and a bit of finance type stuff. So I did it since I was a year before I was drafted.
Yep.
And was able to sort of knock it off throughout my degree, throughout my footy career. Obviously, the injuries, in some respects, it sort of makes it easier to do it. But I probably found that your time was taken up a bit more when you're injured because you're having to focus on yourself and then be a part of the team. So there was a couple of semesters I did, defer.
You can get consumed with negativity when you go through situations like you did through your career and you keep hurting yourself and missing so much football when all you really want to do is play football. How challenging were those periods for you?
Yeah, they're really tough. It's funny, I was having this chat with someone the other day. It's really just was really important not to listen to all the external noise, whether that be people close to you or the media or just people you meet in the street. You tend to get caught up in all that negative emotion. So from my perspective, it was always about striking a balance between how much you absorb and take in and how much you just deflect. So I probably learned that at a young age, fortunately, but it probably made me grow up a bit quicker than I would have liked.
Do you think it's given you an advantage finishing career, retiring from the game and deciding to move on because you've had to deal with the perspective of footy's not everything because you haven't been able to play it for 7 years through your career?
In some respects. I think I still have a kick in the waffle, still involved at Claremont, so... Yeah. From that perspective, I still really enjoy being involved. But it's definitely given me probably a more mature perspective on how much footy actually meant to me and how much I need to actually, if I want to provide for a family and stuff in the future, I need to sort of get my ducks in a row.
So, Anthony, how important was study to your recovery when you're going through the knee reconstruction? Probably more from a mental point of view.
Yeah, it was really important throughout various stages. I think when you initially first do a knee and you're in that sort of traumatic phase, having something to automatically switch your focus to was really important. For me, I probably did it in the first half of the year and then I needed a break and usually went on holidays, which in hindsight would have been good to, I would have probably finished my degree a bit quicker, but no, it really helped with the balance because, these days in football, it's every single day and there's meetings every single day, and if you're only consumed by the game plan and your footy club and what's going on, it's very hard to switch off. So I used to take night classes and that was my way out.
You took night classes?
Oh, like evening classes, so you just go in and do it. Like I used to have an online evening class that they'd set up, which was great.
So you took the path of study, obviously, whereas other guys might go and work. Why was study the one for you where it could have been going into a job placement or the like? Why was study always the one for you?
Oh, well, I grew up on a farm about an hour and a half south of Perth. So my mother more so was more really keen on getting into uni and doing well in my studies. So I finished my studies in 2008 and moved to Perth and started studying before I was drafted. So I was able to do a year before. So I already had sort of a grounding and I knew that was what I wanted to do.
As the dust settles now on your AFL career, do you still feel cheated or do you feel cheated with what happened to you? I mean, a top five draft pick and you'll never really know how good you could have been. Does that sit comfortably with you now, or do you still sort of stew on it?
Oh, man, I'm still 26, so, yeah, it's always going to be a process. I think in the perfect world, you'd love to play 200 games and premierships and best and fairest and the like, but, yeah, that wasn't to be for me. But I was still fortunate. I had some really, really good memories. Like, I was able to play in my first year, play on the MCG in finals and... play with some really quality players like Matthew Pavlich and Nathan Fyfe. So I know I'm more fortunate than a lot of people that have either made their way onto the list and made it off a bit quicker. But yeah, there's definitely always going to be a level of not regret, but yeah.
What if?
Yeah, there's always going to be that question.
And I think it's important that you reminded us here that you're still playing footy. You're playing in the waffle. How are you, or how is your body? How are your knees? You feel like now that you're normal again, if that being disrespectful to your knees?
No, funnily enough, the knee sort of in the last couple of years of my career wasn't really a massive issue. I had a quad that sort of finished me off in my last year, so I was playing for our affiliate Sidepill Thunder, did my quad in the prelim, and they went on to win it, and that was the end. So it was a hard... So when I finished up, I was sort of ready just to go like this, and then you have 2 or 3 months off, and you realise how fun a football club and the environment is. You just get to... Especially from, I think, from a mental health point of view, you get to go in 3 times a week, have a chat to 40 guys that are probably in the same sort of space of life, and get anything off your chest. It's very hard to sort of create that environment, I think.
No doubt.
So do you see yourself playing football for a long time now still? Do you see yourself maybe going back and playing local football somewhere in Perth after you finish at Claremont?
Yeah, I think I'm from the country, so they'd be very keen to get back down there and fall in the boots of the boys.
How good is the team in Harvey? There's only 2,600 people in the town.
There's 2 teams in the town.
Is there?
Yeah. We've got Harvey Fresh, Harvey Beef, so there's some serious backers down there.
It's a cross-town rival.
Cross-town rival.
Exactly.
Which one are you? Which side are you? Fresh or Beef?
I've got some cattle, so Beef now.
Do you get a meat tray for best on ground?
Yeah, I think they still do.
I asked Will Minson before when he started what became a 13-year career. Has he changed his mind on what he wanted to be post-football in life? Your career being so different, do you have a different view on life and different view on what you want to do post-football than what you did when you first started, even though the career was a lot shorter?
Without a doubt. I think when you're ticking off one unit of uni a semester, your interests can sort of wane pretty quickly. If you're doing a finance unit one semester and then you're going economics and then you're management or marketing, you sort of get a taste of everything and you go, okay, well, I could probably do that, potentially do that, don't like that. So I've definitely changed, chopped and changed what I'd want to do. So I think from my perspective, it's now I'm at the state, I worked part-time with a company back in Perth. It was an agribusiness company and it was involved in the business development sort of side of things. So I got a really good broad range of roles that sort of gave me a good understanding of business. And that's where I knew that my interests lie in terms of I wanted to work with people. I wanted to be able to see the growth phase of a business and be involved in anything, all that strategic management type stuff. So that's really where my passion lies. And I think it's just about tapping into the network, which we spoke about yesterday, and finding people, mentors, and people that are willing to sort of give you advice and push you in that direction.
Well, if there's anyone that deserves a bit of good luck post-football, I reckon it might be you, Anthony, after what you had to go through and endure through your AFL career. Well done on what you've been able to do and achieve to this point. Good luck with the rest of your course and your exams when you get back, and we'll look forward to seeing what unfolds for you in the next few years.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff. Anthony Morabito from Fremantle, who's here as part of the inaugural AFL Sports Ready Outduction Program, the AFLPA, a great partner as well, and helping us provide the broadcast from Moona Links down here this morning. After the break, Simon Hill has got a big day ahead of him because the Socceroos need to win against Honduras tonight to get through to Russia 2018 for the World Cup. Some big countries have fallen in the last 24 hours or so and won't be going, by the way. At halftime, the World Cup qualified between Ireland and Denmark in the second leg. Denmark lead 2-1. First leg was 0-0, so Denmark through at this stage. See what happens in the remaining game. But Simon Hill to join us, talk Socceroos after this. And then the man with the best cannons in football, Nathan Thompson, will join us as well.